He will not fail us inasmuch as we continue to trust in Him. You know, the position of a man would eventually change, but we serve a God that remains the same. That's why the Bible says He's Alpha and He's Omega. And I trust God that as you go with me today, the Lord will unravel the mysteries that is surrounding your life, especially the altars of your life. And by the end of everything today, you will see the glory of God in the name of Jesus. So maybe you are seated there and you thought you just need to hear and enjoy God alone. I would say probably it's good for you to invite friends, because God is about to, you know, renew your altar, to repair all that concerns your altar. So today the Lord has led me to speak to us about the topic, altar speaks. Altar, it speaks. Sometimes it speaks silence, sometimes it speaks volume. So altar speaks. Hallelujah. You know, maybe you are here today and you have always been with us as ever before. I want you to know, if you will not take this moment for granted, God is not always in for a play. He's always in for a serious business. I want you to gather yourself. Let your spirit be attached to God and let your Bible be with you. Everything that has to do with your life, my life, with nations of the world today is about to be repaired by the mercies of God in Jesus' name. So maybe you are here right now and you have said probably to yourself, oh, I've tried to have been motivated in the past, but it seems to me I need results rather than being motivated. So I'm not here today just to motivate you, but I'm here to give you the word of God, the prophetic unction of God that is capable of shifting you from the position you are right now to the next phase of God's agenda for your life. You know, we've been told in the weeks that are passed that, you know, we need to incline ourselves to the place of God altar, spiritual inclination. And we also have discussed about how to win our battle. In fact, the Lord led us last week that winning our battle is made easy by the blood of the Lamb. But you are yet to have an encounter with victory. You are yet to see the essence of hearing the word of God without result. The result is coming today, because the essence of life, the depth of the secret of life, belongs to God. The Bible says it is the glory of God to conceal the matter, and those who unfold these matters are kings, as priesthood, and that is who you are today. Inasmuch as you are positioning yourself right now, asking that, Father, let your word come to me today. Let there be a liberation in my life, far beyond I've experienced, far beyond motivation language, Lord. Let there be a spirit to spirit. Let your spirit touch my spirit. Let my spirit dwell in your spirit. That is what God is about to do today. Now, the question is this. Are you familiar with the altar of your life? Is your altar on fire? Is your altar speaking for you or speaking against you? Because every life created by God is either obedient to God or to Satan. At times we have an altar, and this altar is waiting for us to speak the word of life. But because we are not aware of this altar, then we refuse to speak the word of life that will bring the altar home and make the existence of that altar to bring you to the fruition of God's call for your life and even to the benefit of others that are attached to your life. You know, often we have been told about covenant, but then altar is something that we believe is only existing in the place of the physical. For example, altar in the church. For example, a certain area that is, you know, secluded for the place of offering. But it's far beyond that. The Bible says in the book of Exodus chapter 27 verse 1, it says, "You shall make the altar of acacia wood." Acacia wood. You see, that wood is a special wood. And the Bible says 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be square and its height shall be 3 cubits. And you begin to wonder then, why is God this detailed? Because we serve the God of pattern. Our altar is pattern. And that is why, if we do not know the measurement of that altar, we cannot really use that altar for the benefit of our life. The life of man have an altar. Either we are aware of it or we are not aware of it. Let's read further from 20 chapter, Exodus chapter 27. Exodus chapter 27 from verse 20 to 21. The Bible says, "You shall command the people of Israel that they bring to you pure beaten olive oil for the light, that a lamp may regularly set upon to burn." So your place of altar is the place that announces you. You know, wherever there is a darkness, everything looks silent. People are careful. But whenever light illuminates, then confidence comes in the life of people. Something begins to burn. You begin to move with confidence, without fear. Because you can see clearly where you are going. That is exactly the representation of oil here. Some of our altars are dry. There is no oil of sacrifice. There is no oil to burn continuously. There is no oil that will enable the voice of our prayer on that altar to be sounded out. And that is what God is about to do today. Even the prayers of the saints all over the world for the global crisis, especially this ripple effect, the oil of gladness is about to wash it away. It is possible. It is not to make noise. We have prayed. He has answered. We might see revelation of the fact that our physicality restricted us to believing that. But change your journey. Let your revelation go deeper. God has answered prayer, and every perfection to that prayer will come without delay. So altar is specific in speaking on behalf of us. Altar is something that we all have. We may not be aware of it, but that's why today's word is coming. And in as much as this altar comes, appear to you in clarity, you will start to persist in the place of a victory, not just victory, you will begin to flourish. Because the secret of flourishing is to being able to understand what your altar require to speak. So here the Bible says, this altar, from verse 20, require a oil to be put in the lamp so that that lamp can shine light continuously. And 21 says, in the tent of the meeting, outside the veil, that is before the testimony. So there will be no testimony. There will be no moving to the next phase of glory without understanding what your altar is all about. Because when you understand your altar, your authority becomes sharp. When your authority becomes sharp, you attract results from heaven. Because results that God brings to us in heaven is to be delivered by fire. Otherwise, the beat of hell will play with it. And that's why we see many a times we pray, it seems like there's no answer. The Bible talks about the angel of passion. They will delay the prayers. They will hold the prayers for some time. But when you pray and you understand the place of your altar, the fire of God that burns continually on that altar will attract the result down. It will bring the result to you. And then you will come to this place of testimony. And Bible says, Aaron and his son shall tend in it from evening to morning before the Lord. And it shall be a statute forever to be observed. Do not forget that the Bible says that the revelation of Jesus has not come to abolish the law. So everything that the Lord has said in his word, through Genesis to Revelations, they are yes and amen. So it says forever. And then listen to this. He said this, to be observed throughout their generation by the people of Israel. You see, to be observed by the people of Israel. In other words, we need to be aware of our altar. Whatever you are not aware of, you can't take an observation of. You must be aware of what your altar is all about. Then it will be easy for you to take evaluation. If we look at the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 24, verse 25. 2 Samuel, chapter 24, verse 25. The Bible talks about David building an altar. He built an altar for the Lord. Also in the Bible made us to know in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18, verse 30. 1 Kings, chapter 18, verse 30. He says that then Elijah said to all the people, he said to them, come near to me. That was the word of God for a man who understood what an altar is. This man of God called Elijah understood where God has placed him. You cannot know your altar and not know what the Lord has placed in your hand. It's just being in a place of a treasure room and knowing what to do with that treasure. That is exactly what your altar is. Altar is full of treasures. Altar is full of God's tools for your life to deliver results. Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. And all the people came near to him. And Bible says, he said to all the people, he said, repair the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down. Listen to that. Repair the altar of the Lord that has been thrown down. You know, we have the altar. So two things will happen today. Either that altar is left the same, or there is a repair that the heaven will command upon your altar and you will begin to see changes. So prophetically, we have an altar in the spirit also, not just in the physical that we see. If we look further, the book of Matthew, chapter 23, verse 18, also says that, and you know, do not swear by the altar. He said, it is nothing, but if anyone swear by the gift that is on the altar, is bound by his oath. So then, what does that mean? You know, when you go to altar, there are ways you can go there. But you can agree with me that something is always serious. That is during the marriage. You see two people. They have to bring them close to the altar to exchange oaths, to exchange covenant. Why? Because the place of altar is the place that, you know, bound you and God together. It's the place that enables your spirit to function in the spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the spirit of God Almighty. not in the spirit of niche, not in the spirit of lies, not in the spirit of deceit. So then, what is altar? What can you liken the altar of your life to? Simply, let's say, altar is a kind of position used for a spiritual a religious ritual. Especially, what you do on these altars is to make sacrifice, offerings to a particular deity. And you know the deity you are serving. You know the God you believe in. You know, it's important for us that to know that we give offering in order to receive something in return. Either we are conscious of it or not, it is true. So giving and receiving are involved in offering. An offering is something that is offered on the altar. This means that altar receives and gives. Altar receives and gives. At the giving end, you give probably without no one aware of it. When you are giving a gift, in most cases, if you don't want to do like Pharisees, people will not know what you are giving. But there is something you cannot hide. In the place of receiving, it speaks. And that is exactly the operation of altar. That is why when God does miracle in your life, you begin to thank Him. You begin to dance. You begin to call people, come and thank God with me. He saved me from accident. He enabled my family to achieve greatness. He is merciful on us. You begin to thank Him. Why? Because you have received something. And that thing will speak naturally. You know, many people do not believe in altar. And that's the truth. Because they believe that altar stop in the place of physical. Talk more of believing that altar can even speak for them or against them. Or sometimes, vice versa, speak silence for or against them. Let me take you deeper into the Word of God. You see, it is very important for us to understand that the altar that God is talking about is where the issue of your life flows from. It flows in and it flows out. So what flows in and flows out matters, because this will determine the result that you see. So this is the reason why at times a lot of prayers has been rendered, a lot of spiritual exercise has come along, but it seems there is no result. God is about to give you results today in the precious name of Jesus. So let me take you deeper in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says we have altar in as much as you believe in a Abrahamic covenant. Hallelujah. If you believe about covenant, Abrahamic covenant, Mosaic covenant, then you have an altar. In fact, covenant cannot be fully established without an altar. That is why we see in the book of Genesis, chapter 22, verse 9. Genesis chapter 22, verse 9. The Bible says, when they come to the place of which God has told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar, on the top of the wood. You know, we need to understand that very well in our study time. If you can read the whole of that Genesis chapter 22 to the entire chapter. But it will be good we take 10 to 15. So we can see that if covenant had to be established fully, altar must have presided it. Let us look at this from verse 10 of that Genesis. The book of Genesis, quickly, 22. from verse 10 to 15. The Bible says, then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. Look at that. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I have known that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, and behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horn. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. Now listen, altar meat offering. Altar must not be devoided of offering, because it is the offering that acts as the oil that shines the light. And that oil must continually be in its position. Reason why you have to continue rendering offering. I'm not talking about physical offering. I'm talking about making your life available to God as an offering, whereby every act of your life becomes an offering. Hallelujah. And the Lord will provide. Let me read from 14. The Bible says, so Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Now listen to 15. The Bible then said, and the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven. He called to Abraham a second time from heaven. Imagine that your altar speaks for you, and on your altar you receive, you give by asking in supplication or by offering, but you receive by the revelation of the injunction of God that comes to you, or by the revelation of the direction of God that comes to you. So altar gives and receives. Let's take 16. And he said, by myself I have sworn. Then covenant switching. He says, declare the law, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gates of his enemies. If you have to possess the gates of your enemy, you must know the place of your altar. If we are saying that we are Abrahamic covenanted, we must be bold in order to understand that altar speaks for us. We must be bold in order for us to understand that the Lord has placed us for a time like this, that we may possess the gates of our enemy. I want us to pray quickly that, Father, everything that has possessed me that are not of you, by your mercies, I let your possession of the Holy Ghost wash me clean. Let the precious blood of Jesus Christ speak for me. Let every possession that is not of God in your life begin to give way. Begin to pray that prayer. Pray it in faith. Lord, take away every possession that are not belonging to me, that are not of yours, that should not come along in the place of my altar. Take it away, Lord, and give me your inheritance, your own possession. If you have prayed that prayer, God is answering you. In the name of Jesus. So, covenant cannot be fully established without an altar. And that is what we have seen here today. So, what does that mean? That means that we can come to the same positions saying that we have altar. Since we can all easily relate with covenant than altar, we must know that order of utter is something we cannot utter. You know, utter do not preclude covenant. Instead, utter is the undeniable and a platform that must exist for covenant to happen. That must exist for God's covenant to come upon the life of a man. It is on this covenant that God enters his promises to the life of man. It is on this covenant that man thrives. But there can't be a covenant without an altar. Every covenant that is made between God and man, they were spoken from the place of altar. That is why throughout the word of God, you will see more than 360 altars were mentioned, about 370 places in the word of God. Why? Because there is nothing that can happen in the life of a man without an altar. And when the life of a man has gone so disrupted that looks like there can never be a solution, trace it down to the place of altar, and then there will be a change. You begin to see a change in your life. You begin to see what you have never seen before. So we all have altar, but how well do you recognize your altar? That's the question. How well do you know your altar? Because the acacia wood in the book of Exodus chapter 27 verse 1 that the Bible talks about is a kind of special tree. And Bible made us to know that it's used as a raw material for the construction of the tabernacle. And we see this tabernacle will come with patterns, exactly with measures and how it should be positioned for other, you know, utilities that comes around of it, like the pillar in the temple, like the table of the altar, like the curtains, and so on and so forth. But one thing that is important is the Ark of the Covenant. This acacia wood is is what is used to make the Ark of Covenant. Do you understand that God is making a special altar for you right now? Do you know that you have a special altar, but you are yet to recognize it? For the mercies of God is coming alive in you. Now you begin to thrive on that platform of God's altar for your life. I have another question for you. Is our altar, is it on fire? Is our life an altar of which God can trust, can place his dedicated covenant upon, like the Ark of Covenant? Can we be trusted like that acacia wood, special wood being used for the Ark of Covenant? It means that there is something about it. The Bible says, in my father's house are vessels unto honor and dishonor. The vessel we have will determine the altar that we carry. If our vessel is not as unto God, we cannot carry God's altar. We cannot carry holy altar until our vessel become a useful one, like that acacia wood that is used specifically to design the Ark of Covenant. If you are going to be God's Ark of Covenant that will go to places, bless the nations, make the beat of hell shake, causes the enemy, the gate of the enemy to be open, causes confusion in the midst of the enemy, you have to be special to God. You have to be willing to understand the place of your altar. You have to be willing to allow God to take you by hand in that journey, that your altar may speak continuously for you. So is your life on altar of which God has given us? Can something dedicated be placed upon it? You know, The Bible talks about God's establishment of the Mosaic covenant with Israel by using Moses. It is called Mosaic covenant because the covenant was entered with Moses and God. It was between these two people. In other words, Moses carried the covenant in those days for the people of Israelites. So that is why it is called a Mosaic covenant. Now the question is this. That covenant is a covenant that is established for the people of Israel. Not just for Moses. But Moses carried the covenant of that altar. Just like you have today, many lives and destinies are attached to your life. They are waiting for you to thrive. Because if you do not thrive, they will not thrive. May I decree by the power of the Holy Ghost that everything that is speaking negative in your life, by the unction of God Almighty, they are broken in Jesus' name. Say a powerful amen. Hallelujah. They are broken in the power that is in the blood of Jesus. Praise God. So by this covenant, Moses led the Israelites away from their bondage into the promised land known as Canaan. The Bible says the meaning of Canaan is a big room, a large expanse of blessings, prospects of God. And Israelites become prosperous because altar was prepared. You see, the practicality of the altar was the first thing that appears. When Moses saw God in the burning bush, for the reference of understanding an altar, God told him to take the shoe, the slippers on his feet away, for the reference of altar, before the place of covenant was seated on that altar. So no covenant without altar. If we know covenant, then you should know you have an altar. And today is the day you need to begin to sensitively think about this altar and make use of it to the benefit of God's glory for your life. And then they became large and prosperous. There are many lives today in bondage. Why? Because they are operating under the demonic control of pit of hell. Altars of manipulation, altars of deceit. We see so many things going on in the church today. Fake miracles, lies, things that does not bring glory to God, men bringing attention to themselves, men that will not be happy if you do not call them a certain name. Let me repeat, let me tell you, do not call anybody a spiritual father. Do not call someone daddy. Because you need to understand that the person you are calling by that name carry an altar. And you know by the nature of the spiritual things, when you call someone father, you are simply saying, I carry your blessings and I carry your curse. So if that altar is speaking from the place of ritual, your life is in trouble and you have even put your seed in trouble. So do not call anyone spiritual father until God had revealed the person to you. Like the relationship between Paul and Timothy. You do not call anyone major these different kind of fake things going on in the church today. The simplicity of the fivefold ministry is no longer there. You see senior this, senior that, and that, and that. And see people trying to maintain a miracle that God has not given. Does that mean a miracle to be obsolete? No. Until Jesus comes, miracle will still be real. But it should remain the same. There are so many fake out there today. And this is putting many people in bondages that they ought not to be, that they do not even know about. You see, miracle come by the the decision of the Holy Spirit, when we prepare ourselves, that is why sometimes we pray for people, they are healed immediately. And sometimes some do not heal immediately. But you see, in these days, people will begin to manage those miracles. They will play drama. They would have gone to pay people. They would have gone to, you know, they have people working for them. On the same altar, they offer lives by immorality. They offer life by different means of life just because they want to gain this world. The Bible says, what is the need of gaining the world and you are perishing? What is the need of having the entire world around you, within you, and you lose your soul? Altar is sacred. Let's open to the book of Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 is verse 15. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 15. The Bible says, for this reason, Christ is the mediator of the new covenant. We have been talking about Abraham covenant, Mosaic covenant. But there is a covenant that supersedes all this covenant. It's the new covenant in Christ Jesus. It cannot be found in anywhere. How do you know marine altar? Direction is always on them. If you do not call them a certain name, you have offended them. We even groom some group of people that will ensure you call them those names. They will tell you how you should do your testimony. How you should, they will manipulate you. If you are in a church, under a church, that you see manipulation, it is not wrong for you to live there. Live there even once you can discern that this is not of God. Leave them, because everything that we are to do is being done by Jesus Christ. And that is why the Bible says the foundation has been laid. They that build upon it must do so carefully. It is true that doctrines may be differ, but it must be a sound doctrine. That means that the pattern of that doctrine must be seated upon the word of God. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, it said, thy word is settled, forever it is settled. Nothing will change the world. You see, many miracles without preaching the word of God. What's the essence of the miracle? People have taken miracle above knowing God, above serving God, above waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a shameful thing. And the Bible says that those who are called may receive the promise. Look at that. The promise, eternal inheritance. That should be our focus. Now that he has died as a ransom to... Thank you, Holy Spirit. I heard the voice of the Lord. He said he's making among of you spiritual giant. If you are under my voice tonight, at this hour, receive the giant on your altar, the person of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Receive giant result, receive giant solution, receive giant spiritual insight, receive giant salvation, receive giant prosperity in the name of Jesus. Now listen, it says, now he has died as a ransom to set them, us, free from the sins committed under the first covenant. That is, there is a fault with the first covenant. And that is why I said, when the new covenant of Jesus coming, it become a covenant that bring us to a total freedom. Not a covenant that secluded us, not a covenant that makes us to be confused, but the covenant in the place of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that covenant is the blood of Jesus Christ that redeemed all of us. You know, we all know that there are many false altars today, especially what has been discussed earlier. Different things different materials being used that the Lord is not directing. The Lord can lead a man to use a water, but why can't it be once in 5 years? If it's possible, or at least once in a year. Is it God that is directing it to be everything? Because you can be connected to a marine kingdom and you don't know. You see water being bottled. You see so many things being done like a ritual. Why are people betting on the altar of God? There is only one thing that is important in our life, is the word of God. And when that word of God directs you to use any of this material, like handkerchief, like water, you must not idolize it. When you do, the bit of hell will use it. And you see, people want to maintain this fake miracle, maintain this fake humility, and so on and so forth, so that they continue to attract. The Holy Spirit is dynamic. I know some of all of us listening, you have the Holy Spirit by the grace of God. You know the Holy Spirit is dynamic. It doesn't stay in one angle for long. It leads, and its leading has no confusion, like we are seeing in the church today. But listen, the evidence of faith in a vast magnitude of today's situation is even the genuity of the appearance that originally exists in the midst of the counterfeit. You cannot see originality without counterfeit. So if we have not been seeing fake, that means there is never an original. And the Bible made us know that in the end time, we are going to see quite a lot of these things. And that is why we must have a personal relationship with God. We must know God by ourselves. And we must trust who God says we have through His word. You must understand what your altars are. All you need is to love Jesus in truth and in spirit. All you need is to accept Him as your Lord and your personal Savior. Because you need to understand that you are not condemned if you turn to Him right now. You are not condemned if you turn to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Maybe now, someone might have tarried for so long in a cross junction. You are either silent or following the altar of your life today that God has given you. It's another thing to follow, and it's another thing to be silent. Whatever you do not provoke, you cannot be promoted. When you provoke, you promote. An altar is not meant to be seated dormant. It's meant to be provoked that you might be promoted. If God's altar is there, if the covenant of God is true, then you have an altar. All you need to do is to nurture that altar and follow it. But if you do not know your altar, there is chances, big chances, that the demonic altar of this world will creep into your life. Let's open our mouths and pray. The Lord, in every areas of my life that I've carried a false altar that is not of you and I do not know, altars of different things, lies, altars of masturbation, altars of fornication, altars of lies, altars of fake prosperity, altars that are not of you, let your precious blood at once speak victory for me. Open your mouth and begin to decree. Lord, let your word, let your precious blood speak deliverance for me. In the name of Jesus, let it speak deliverance for you and that of your family by the unction of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' precious name, We have prayed. Amen. Glory to God. So then, how do you maintain this altar? How do you bring it to life? We are rounding up. You have two options, first of all, with your altar life. Listen, it's either you build it up from the lowly situation that it is to a firebrand altar, like Elijah did in the book of 1 Kings chapter 18. Or the second option is to allow the ruler of this world, the lies and the systems of this world, suggest and rule on your altar. It's your choice. These two choices are for you. But for the sake of what the Lord has sent to give you, today, our focus is how can you build this altar or rebuild your altar, and what these things require. You know, we see in the word of God, in the life of Abraham, that everywhere he went, he built an altar. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, chapter 12, I think from verse 5 to 7, the Bible says that the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, he says, to your offspring, listen to that, I will give this land. And you know, Abraham was so wise that promise, that message, covenant would be established. He built an altar. The word of that covenant came from the altar of heaven. And Abraham replicated the same. You know, there is a law of attraction. For two things to attract, they must be equal. They must have the same material. But if they do not have the same material, they will repel. If the word of God come to you, or it has come to you in the past, covenant has been made to you by God, and you have not seen the result, you have to build the altar that will enable that result to come out. Because that word of covenant promises comes also from altar, because it will not come without being on altar. It will not become a covenant to you without coming from an altar of God. So you need to replicate that altar so that you are trapped and you are immersed in that promises of God without losing anything. The Bible says Abraham built an altar there to the Lord who appeared to him. What altars have you been built? Do you have an altar? Have you repaired your altar? Have you invoked by the power of God Almighty the altar of your life? Because every altar requires three things. I will quickly say those things. Three major things, and put it at the back of your mind. Altar requires surrendering. Altar requires services. Like we saw that all being born continuously. An altar requires sacrifice. That is why for the completion of the redemption of man, Jesus had to be sacrificed. So without a place of personal encounter with God, like that of Abraham, he was not Abraham then. In the book of Genesis chapter 12 verse 7, Genesis chapter 12 verse 7, you can read this at the up free time. You know, we see the dynamic of an encounter there. You cannot thoroughly or truthfully occupy your altar with fire and make it speak for you until you surrender, service the altar, and sacrifice. And there are ways we can surrender to God. There are ways we can serve in the life of people, in the life of government, in the life of those who need those services. Different ways of service. And there are ways you can sacrifice. This is not what we are to discuss today. We probably have discussed this in the past. But it is important for us to know that these three things is what makes your altar to spit fire. You know, to surrender means to enroll yourself in a service of the Spirit. And by enrolling yourself, you are giving yourself to a total sacrifice on the altar of God. Your spirit, your body, your soul are laid on his altar. And we can see this in the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 24 from verse 23 to 26. Joshua chapter 24 from verse 23 to 26. Let's quickly read that. Joshua 24. I read from verse 23. He said, "Then put away the foreign God that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God will we serve." Can you see? Surrendering was when they leave their idols, the altar that are not good. Only if you will surrender that altar today and begin to now serve. The Bible said they serve. Look at that. It says that they serve. And people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God will we serve." They serve. "And his voice will we obey." To obey is to sacrifice yourself. Obedience means doing. You cannot sacrifice without doing. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and put in a place statutes, rules for them at Shechem. And Joshua wrote this word in the book of the law of God. He took a large stone and set it up there under the terebinth that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. You see, the altar was prepared. Idolatry. Maybe you are there. You have certain things in your life that you have idolized. Even things that look good. Maybe God is giving you an opportunity to know that it's not worth it to idolize anything. You are only subjected and should be submissive to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So it's a must that we surrender. It's a must that we service. And equally important that we sacrifice. And these things are tied together. So how do we do them? Number one, build your altar physically and spiritually. We are rounding up. Build your altar physically and spiritually. How do I mean? You have to separate a place, a spot, a dedicated corner that you sanctify to meet with the Lord and complete it with a mobile altar. Don't make it to be like, until you come to that point, God will not ask you. Also, you might be moving on the road and be praying, because the altar is now mobile by the revelation of Jesus dying for us. But the place of spot, it still cannot be taken away. One of my daughter in the Lord, by the grace of God, called me last week. And she said, she noticed there's a particular spot. When she sleeps there, she will see revelations. In fact, the last revelation she saw, some of the results, some hours later, she saw them happening. I said to her, "Don't idolize that spot, but take note that the angel of God had descended in that spot." Does that mean other spots are obsolete? No, that's not what I've come to say. I've only come to remind you that your altar can be physical and much more spiritual. So take note of them. If we don't personally have an altar, a place of personal worship, you may not have this experience where a corner is dedicated for God. It doesn't have to be a room. But mind you, that room must not be a room that people cannot enter. If you have a room, no matter how much mansion, I know people will say maybe because you are here to have mansion, people should be able to enter it in as much as they are not defiling your privacy. What I meant is that the altar is spiritual itself. It doesn't have all those detriments that deities of this world use. It doesn't have all those marine materials. It doesn't have all those kingdom of darkness, all those magical perfume, all those stuffs. It doesn't have it. It's a clean altar. It's an altar of conscience. De facos duris agakusta. It's an altar where you come to God in the place of your body, spirit, and soul, and you lay yourself down as a sacrifice for the use of His glory. Also, in order for that altar to be serviced, ensure you join the congregation of people to worship, to gain synergy of the spirit of God, not of the spirit of New Age. The reason is because this will strengthen you, because no man is an island of his own. And that is why we need to understand that this virus is not a joke anymore. The Lord showed us before it happened. He also told us about this, what's it called? This second wave. He told us a specific word as a ripple effect. No news in the world carried it at the time, 5 months ago. And specifically, he told us September. In this part of the world, just yesterday, they took everything back. Gathering must not be more than 10 again. And so also in different parts of the world. So it's not funny. Let's close our eyes and declare. See, we are not claiming to be the only one God is revealing to. It's a privilege. But I tell you, there are many billions of people, if not billions, at least thousands. But they do not have a platform to talk about it. So we are aware of that. Do you know God reveals solutions to us? Nations must be humble. They must pray. The day I saw that revelation was a few weeks ago. 2 people saw the same and called me, reached out to me the same day. That they saw this, that I was asking God, what do we do? What is the solution? And the solution that was given in that revelation to them was to pray. There is another one that even says, I was asking God that if there is no solution, how can the world, your children, enjoy their inheritance? He also answered that fellow that it is to pray. Nations must repent. How do we get them to repent? It must start from us, and we leave it there for the Holy Spirit to take it on. We are to join our faith with the faith of other men of God, believers all over the world who are praying. And I want us to quickly decree that, Lord, we know that you have answered our prayers, but we pray that we want to see a result. We don't want to be confounded again, not anymore, by the pit of hell. We want to congregate. We want our far beyond congregating. We want to see the light of the day. Lord, give us a sound and permanent victory. Let's pray. Give us, Lord, all over the world. Make nations to bow before you. Make governments, make private organizations to say, yes, Lord, we need you. Make nations to rise up and declare, Father, let them declare a national prayer right now, even before this month is over. Let there be a declaration of national repentance, national prayer, for your hand to be totally rested upon us, that we may have rest, that this virus may be a thing of the past, in Jesus' name. If you have prayed that prayer, God has answered, in Jesus' name. Number 2, build your altar around your family. Don't build your altar around prophets. You will find yourself destroyed. If you serve a prophet, you are in trouble. Even if it's a genuine prophet of God, Yours is to thank God, know your person, have an altar, understand God. And then if you must receive from other people, you will not be confused by them because you have an understanding of what God is. Not that some people will tell you before your prayer is answered, you have to be bathed in a river. You have to measure some candles. You have to be to have a sexual immorality before a prayer is answered. You have to have a perfume. You have to bottle a water. You have to have an handkerchief that must always be in your car. You have to have a sticker put on your car so that your car doesn't have accident. What an idolatry world. Those things are not necessary. All that you need is the power, the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that that blood that says what is precious than the blood of Abel. The word of God says, I bear the mark of God upon me. Let no one trouble me. That is the altar. That is the place of sound altar. Jesus in under Ashtar. You must provoke that altar in order for you to be promoted. So build the altar around your family. Because altar is a place of sacred, a place of sacrifice, as mentioned to us earlier, a place of power points where you draw spiritual encounters. Oh my God. Where you have the supernatural encounter that comes to strength in your life. Every genuine Christian family, Christian brothers and sisters, must have a corporate altar as a lifestyle altar where your voice is being heard by heaven, altar where your testimonies is being received by heaven. Altar are places where we separate ourselves from causes and generational traits. You know, every genuine altar or family altar must have a lifestyle, the life in the blood of Jesus must flow through the channel of that altar, where you raise your prayer up to God for your life and for individual lives as directed by the Holy Spirit. You see, the altar of your personal life is the only one that can speak truth and clarity like never before. See, every altar has the power to shape and to alter, I mean to take away, to destroy your destinies. It can shape it for good, and it can destroy it. That's why you have to be careful what altar you are eating from. It's not like it's wrong to be on altar or to trust the altar in the life of someone, but you must encounter God by yourself first of all. That will enable you to benefit as a body of Christ from another person's altar. Because there will be no confusion. It will be clear to you what that means. Altar is the most powerful place to prophesy. And that is why when you see God's prophet, when they say every word they say will come to pass. Especially the one that comes from God, that they said, thus saith the Lord of hosts, it will come to pass. Why? Because prophecy comes from the place of altar. You don't just do it. You just don't desire it. We see fake things today because people left those things in the place of desiring. It's not bad to desire, but don't leave it in the place of desiring. Take it further to the place where your life flows into God and God flows into you. The Bible says, open the room of your life that I may come in, soup with you, and you soup with me. Release yourself into the altar of all altar. That's the altar of God, where your product is being shaped, designed and branded for the world to see, where your prophetic insight is being gained, just like prayer was made for Rebecca by her family. Genesis 24, verse 58 to 60. Otter was named on behalf of Rebecca by her family. Number three, it is important to activate your altar. You must activate your altar. If your altar is not activated, you will hardly receive the purpose of God for your life. In your study time, read the book of 1 Psalm chapter 7, verse 2 to 10. 1 Samuel, chapter 7, verses 2 to 10. You will seek clarity of this. Your altar must be activated. Otherwise, you cannot achieve anything that is close to God's purposes for your life. On that altar that you activated is where you receive deliverance. So can you now see, it's not just to motivate you, it's for you to get results. Now that you know you carry an altar, if you can consciously begin to service this altar, you will discover that you are activating it. So deliverance from evil will come to your life. Oppression, addiction will be taken away. Salvation for your loved ones will be counted. But this can only occur in the place where you seek God at the prayer altar. If you don't activate your altar consistently, listen to that word, consistently, not just once, generational sins, iniquities, and transgressions will follow you. Because that's the nature of man, Adamic nature of man. Without an active altar, the enemy will fester on you. The enemy will add his way, if not even ways, in your life. And you don't want that to happen, people of God. Last, number four, it's important for us to alter everything around of us to ensuring the altar of God is come to stay. The concept of altering is what we read in that portion of the Word of God, where they put their idol aside and they begin to serve God, and that by the virtue of their serving God, they come into the place of covenant with God. That is exactly what we need. Joshua 24, 23 to 26. It's important for you to let go of every other idol and allow the altar of God through your heart to be stationed for you to receive from God. You know, as I bring to him, altar is not as simple as it may appear to you. Altar is the functions of your life. If we are going to make heaven, it is our altar that we speak. And that is biblical. The Bible says that he will try us. Why does he want to try us? He wants to know if our garment is not stained. What is our garment? Our altar. Our works will be tried. Why? Because on altar, it must burn. Either for good or for refining. For good or for destruction. That is why when God is revealed by that fire, it will burn some and it will purify some unto glory. Apostle Paul told us in the book of Romans 12, he says that we must build ourselves in the consciousness of our mind by renewing that mind. What that means is that the issue of altar is attached 100% to our altar. I mean, our hearts. The issue of altar is attached 100% to our heart. So our heart takes us to where our altar belongs. It's very simple. That is why God is always concerned. He speaks in my life from today. Let every other altar be silenced forevermore. Only your altar I provoke in the name of Jesus. Let me see the clarity of the battle, of the clarity that I do not have before, of the victory that is long due for me. Let me see them right now by the renewal of my altar, by the renewal and repair of my altar, by the new altar that is given for those who does not have. Begin to pray that prayer. Ask God to forgive all of your sins, to have mercy on you. Say, Lord, have mercy on me. Purify me. Let nothing stand against the blessings you are releasing today. You know, the Bible says, upon this mountain will I build my church. And it says the gate of hell will not prevail. I want you to pray and say, my altar be on fire. Let no power of hell be able to withstand it. Everything that is not righteous, everything from darkness, everything that presses you when you sleep, everything that it makes you to be afraid, everything that makes you to be unforgiven, every issue of life that is being wronged by the pit of hell in your life, tampered with by the pit of hell, declare and say, Father, let my altar speak right now. Let my altar speak victory. Let it speak deliverance. Let it speak favor in Jesus' precious name, we pray. Finally, you are going to pray this prayer. Bible says to Prophet Habakkuk, said, upon this watch, I will stand and hear what he will say to me. And the voice of the Lord comes suddenly. He says, write it down. Run with the vision. Even though it may tarry, it will surely speak. We are going to decree that in this world, give me perseverance. Give me patience. Let my life, my heart be attached to you alone. Let me not be carried away by development, by technology, by the things that is shining around of me. Oh Lord, I pray, give me the benefit of prosperity, but let me not be moved by them. Give me every good thing that you can give your children. But Father, give me you much more than anything. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed.